What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
Welcome to the 61st episode of Warriors Off Court, the San Francisco Chronicles NBA podcast. I'm your host, Warriors beat writer Connor Letourneau, and today I'm joined by sports columnist Ann Killian. Ann has been providing awesome Warriors content all year, and she's in Houston with me for games 3 and 4 of the Western Conference semifinals. After media availability Sunday, we caught up at our hotel about Kevin Durant's dominance, Stephen Curry's struggles, and whether the Warriors should be worried after getting out-hustled in Game 3.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to keepitfunohio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
On Sunday evening, Ann Killian and I chatted at our hotel not far from the Toyota Center.
And it's Cinco de Mayo, and we're here in wonderful Houston, Texas, celebrating this festive holiday with Modelo. A little bit later, I think we're going to be going to a Mexican restaurant with a bunch of other writers. So now that we're done with our writing for the day, we're trying to enjoy the festivities.
Happy Cinco de Mayo. Yeah. Houston's a good place to celebrate it. There's a lot of good Mexican food.
Yeah, no, it's Houston. I've had some of the best Mexican food in my life in Houston. Not necessarily at this restaurant we're going to a little later, but there's some amazing Mexican restaurants here.
Yeah, Houston is an underrated city. It's kind of a weird city, especially we've been here all weekend and it's dead. It's absolutely dead downtown because everyone lives out in the suburbs. But just like Cleveland used to, this feels like... If it's May, we're going to be in Houston. That's kind of the way the Warriors roll.
Yeah, for sure. And the Warriors have kept it interesting, which has kind of been the theme of this whole season. Whenever you think that they're going to run away with something, they take a step back. And I think in a lot of ways, Game 3 was predictable just because the Rockets had so much more to play for. I mean, their season was really hanging in the balance. We all know that no team ever comes back from a 3-0 deficit in the playoffs, especially against a team like the Warriors. So they played inspired. They played like their season was on the line. And you really saw that in the hustle plays. 17-7 advantage on the offensive boards, which I thought was probably the most important stat from the game. PJ Tucker was really big in that department and were able to pull it out in overtime. What was your biggest takeaway from last night?
Well, I kind of agreed with what Steve said. The Warriors, if they almost won that game, and if they had won it, it would have kind of been, stealing one away from the basketball gods, because they didn't really deserve to win it. They were pretty much outplayed. You know, like you said, the rebound totals, especially the offensive rebounds, show that. I didn't ever think the Warriors were going to sweep this series. I mean, this is a team that is really good. This probably should be the Western Conference Finals. They took the Warriors to 7. You know, they're experienced. They're well coached. They have a ton of pride. They have one of the best players in the universe in James. And I always thought we were going back to Oracle for a game 5. The big question will be what happens Monday night, and will we be going back here for a game 6?
Definitely. And, one thing that I wouldn't say I was concerned, because obviously I'm not a fan of the team, but I thought the Warriors should maybe be a little concerned about entering game 3 was just the fact that Klay hadn't had a typical Klay outburst in a while. Steph has not been the dominant playmaker that he's known to be. And then it felt like both those guys took steps back again last night. You wrote all about Steph struggles. He had probably one of the worst playoff games of his career last night. what's wrong with him? Is it the finger injury? Is it something even more serious? Or is it just something, do you just chalk that up to a bad night?
I kind of chalk it up to a bad night because I went through his playoff game by games today, and he has had bad games in the playoffs before. It's just that when he's spectacular, it kind of erases our memory that he is a fallible human being and can have a bad game. But I think he's got the finger thing working. I think he has the ankle thing is also there. You know, I mean, it was just a little over a week ago that we were really wondering if he was going to be able to play in game one, which was a week ago today, because of his ankle, which he tweaked in the last game against the Clippers. Then he dislocates his finger the other night in Oracle. So he's banged up, and, you know, he hates it to hear, you know, that he's kind of a small body, but he is kind of a small body for the NBA. And so, you know, these games take a wear and tear on him. And I think, he also, some of those plays were frustration plays. You could see it, especially late in the game. I mean, when I went back, I didn't realize until today that I went back when he was 0-for-6 in the fourth quarter in overtime.
Yeah.
I mean, he did not make a shot in clutch time, which is so not like him. So, yeah, I mean, I think it's something to be concerned about. But as all his teammates, Andre and Draymond and his coach, Steve Kerr, said, you know, they expect him to come back and be really good tomorrow night. And historically, if you look through his game by games in the playoffs, you know, he'll have a 14-point game and come back and score 35 points in the next game. So he does rebound, he does focus more, and I don't know. I don't really have too much concern, but the fact that he's only shooting 25% from 3-point line against Houston in this series that's kind of weird.
Yeah, and I think the thing that really stuck out to me last night was just how many bunnies he missed. I mean, how many layups did he miss? Like 3 or 4 at least?
I think he missed 6.
Yeah.
I think he missed 6 layups. And then, of course, the slam clunk, as I called it, because that was kind of embarrassing. It's like, why were you even trying to dunk? The game was kind of over at that point.
I was shocked to see him go for the dunk there because, I mean, I've talked to him about his dunking in the past. It's something he only does in a blowout garbage time type situation. You look at all his dunks in the past, he's only made one dunk all season. For him to attempt a dunk, and you know, I don't think the game was quite over yet, but that was kind of their last gasp. And so you take the high percentage shot, and the higher percentage shot for him is the layup. So it kind of spoke to just him not being totally mentally where he needed to be last night.
Yeah, and again, that's something that's very odd for us to see, because we've seen some of his teammates be mentally not where they need to be, but Steph is almost always the one who sets the tone, sets the focus, and is really locked in. Lock in, Dub Nation. That's what he tweets out before every game. So, it seemed a little off. He's been a little off through the series so far. I need a bigger sample size before I start to panic.
Yeah, no, I agree. But the other side of it, the other side of the coin, is Kevin Durant has been absolutely unreal. He's just been, ever since he announced in that media scrum after game 2 of the first round when he only took 8 shots, "I'm Kevin Durant, y'all know who I am, I'm Kevin Durant." He's been just incredible. I mean, one of the most impressive playoff stretches I've seen from a superstar player ever, averaging around 40 points on well over 50% shooting. His usage rate is second in the NBA since then, behind James Harden. And he's kind of put the Warriors on his back. And it feels different than last year, where he was really forcing things, you know, those ISO situations. And it felt like he was doing it at the expense of the Warriors system, whereas I feel like he's doing a better job of finding his looks within the flow of the offense. They're still moving the ball, they're still having good assist totals, but he just is so locked in. And you and I both wrote a little bit about this yesterday. Steve Kerr has gone out of his way 3 times in the past week to say that Kevin Durant is the best player in the world. Now, do you think that that's just genuinely Steve feeling that way and just happening to come up in interviews? Or do you think he's going out of his way to make sure that Kevin feels empowered?
Maybe a little bit of both. I think he feels that way. I think Steve feels that way. I think right now, pretty much everyone watching the NBA feels that way. And I think also he knows that he has a player who likes to hear that. You know, that has been a theme for Kevin in the past couple of playoff runs, especially when he faces LeBron one-on-one, is who's the best player in the world. And Kevin really wants to be the best player. And I think now without LeBron in the picture and probably, you know, I would expect that LeBron has ceded the title, because I can't imagine at his age and with the team he's on, you know, the Lakers in shambles, that LeBron's going to rise up and suddenly like flex and be like, I'm the best player in the league still. Could happen, but I don't think it will. And so it's just, Kevin Durant is clearly playing at another level than everyone else in the league. And it isn't just the scoring, it's mostly the scoring. But, you know, I thought he's been playing pretty good defense. He did. He made some great finds yesterday, like, you know, Andre and Clay both hit threes coming off Durant assists late in the game. I just think he could up his rebounding a little bit. He had zero turnovers last night. You know what I mean? Yeah. He's just, and there seems to be, you know, we spend a lot of time analyzing Kevin Durant, his emotions, his thoughts, what's going on in that head, you know, and he knows it. I think he kind of likes it that he gets that much attention, but he also gets irritated by it. But, you know, I feel like this last week or so, maybe 2 weeks, he's kind of been in this zone, not only on the court, but kind of off the court. He seems like kind of calm and happy and like, you know, I don't know. I think he always says, I just want a hoop, man. And I think that's what's going on with him.
Yeah.
Like it's high pressure games. They mean a lot. He's hooping at the highest level you can play at. The issues about free agency are kind of falling aside because there's other things to talk about now. There's real things to talk about, real games that are meaningful. And so he just seems kind of happy right now, as well as, you know, unstoppable.
Yeah. You know, I think he always, this is kind of his happy time of the year. Cause like you said, he's always preaching to us, well, let's focus on basketball. And now pretty much every question he's getting is about how great he is and how, and about the X's and O's and all that stuff. And I do really enjoy just sitting back sometimes and listening to him break down the game, because he has such a special basketball mind. He understands the game in a way that very few players do. He has a borderline photographic memory, almost kind of like LeBron in that way, where you can ask him about a play and he'll tell you exactly where everyone was and that kind of thing. But I also think part of it has to be the fact that he probably has an awareness that he is becoming known as the best player in the world. I think he thought a few years ago that he should have that title. And I think it's becoming clear to him that he's finally getting that credit, and I think that matters a lot to him. I think that matters an incredible amount to him.
I think it does too. And of course, I mean, I just don't think you're going to get that title while LeBron is still playing, you know, and playing at a high level, you know, carrying a very flawed team on his back into the finals. You know, that no matter what you think about LeBron's game in recent years, you know, he did some amazing things, which is why it's so weird that he kind of went to the Lakers and let that be the storyline. But Kevin is just, yeah, I mean, he's in his prime. He is just a force. I mean, Draymond was funny today, just saying like kind of laughing, like, I don't know. Because someone was asking, one of the reporters was asking, you know, do you even understand what Kevin is doing right now? He goes, I don't understand it. I can't explain it to all of you either. Cause it's just, you know, it's fun to watch. He's also being a leader. Like, I think his leader, Draymond, I think, said to a reporter after the game last night that his leadership qualities, Kevin's leadership qualities, are underestimated and not talked about, and that they're really coming through right now. So, yeah, it's fun to see. Van Gundy cracked on the broadcast last night that the Warriors were going to have to retire their strength in numbers slogan, which is true because, you know,
they've gotten nothing from the bench, really.
Yeah, they're getting nothing from the bench. And like last night, they weren't getting anything much from Steph. So, you know, it was the Kevin Durant show, and it's very fun, but I don't think they're going to win a championship that way. They really need to get the other guys locked in and contributing.
Yeah, and, you know, I say the bench isn't doing anything because Andre Iguodala is no longer a bench player. He's obviously in the starting lineup, but he continues to amaze me. I mean, he's 35 years old. He's got so many games under his belt, and he's going up like he's in Philly, you know, in the dunk contest again. He's playing like with those spry legs and with that same level of athleticism, and he has been by far their best player this season outside of, you know, the really core all-star guys. I think he's had his best season in at least 3 years, probably. And I know it's statistically in the regular season, it may not reflect that, but anyone who watched the games knew how important he was, especially given that they weren't getting a lot from the rest of the bench. What do you think about what he's been able to do at this stage of his career?
It's amazing. And like some of the guys were talking about the other day, Draymond was saying, you know, every you know, you get to the playoffs and you think, yeah, maybe this isn't going to be his year because, you know, he's getting old. And then all of a sudden, you know, he turns it on. And this year he's turned it on in a way we haven't seen in a couple of years. You talked about listening to Kevin talk about basketball and how he's, you know, like a basketball savant. That's something that I don't know that the fans understand, just how cool it is to talk to some of the great basketball minds. I mean, Andre is one of them too, and so is Draymond. These guys are so smart and so can explain the game and the way they talk about the game. It's really fascinating. It's kind of like, you know, there's always, as sports writers, we hear about, you know, people sitting in the dugout, like talking to old baseball guys and learning the game from them. And that's kind of the way it is with this team. They're basketball geniuses, and they really like to just talk about basketball. Sometimes we ask them about a lot of other things, but Andre is, you know, Steve says it every time he even says anything about Andre. He's one of the smartest players he's ever been around, and there's no doubt Andre is pretty amazing.
Yeah, I think a lot of people, a lot of like the casual NBA fan might assume, oh, these guys got to the NBA because they're just freak athletes and they're super tall and they have these crazy wingspans. And that's true to a certain degree. I mean, there definitely are players in the league who are in the NBA solely because they're just freakly gifted physically. But to be one of the top players in the league, to be truly elite, you have to pair those physical tools with an unyielding work ethic, an incredible basketball IQ. I talked to I think Ron Adams a while ago, and he's like, you know, one thing that's weird about the NBA is the best players, you would think that sometimes, a lot of times, the hardest working guy on the team would be, you know, the bench warmer guy who's trying to prove himself. But in reality, the hardest working guy on the team is always the best player. And a lot of the laziest guys are the bench warmers. And Kevin Durant and Steph and Draymond, all those guys, Klay Thompson as well,
Andre,
all those guys work their butts off. I mean, legitimately.
And you wrote something about that today. You wrote about the interplay between Harden and Durant when they were young players on the same team, and how that work ethic, they kind of fueled each other and they pushed each other and they learned from each other about how hard to work. And, you know, I know a lot of people don't really like James Harden's game, people who root for the Warriors, but, you know, he's an amazing player, and he has a really solid work ethic. And like we were talking about today, no one has ever said anything, degraded him as a bad teammate or anything like that. I mean, people don't like his game, but he's a great player, and I think everyone's got to respect that.
Yeah, I don't really fully understand all the hate for James Harden because he has a couple tactics to draw fouls, but the reality is, he's not doing anything to go against the rule book, really. I mean, he's exploiting a couple loopholes in the rule book, and there's nothing wrong with – in reality, that's actually really smart, and I'm actually surprised that more people haven't figured out ways to do that before him. I kind of respect it. I mean, I'm not going to say his playing style is my favorite type of playing style. I've never been a huge ISO guy, But he basically took what Allen Iverson was doing and built off it. You know, his step back three originated with Iverson. And as someone who's a fan of the game and grew up watching Iverson, it's been kind of cool seeing someone build off that.
Well, he also, he's deceptive in that in this series, a couple times I've thought, well, he's not really having a great game. And then I look up and he's got like 35 points. I mean, he can just go on these bursts and really, you know, take a team. I wouldn't say that he never really took the Warriors out of the game yesterday, but you know, he was the reason they won it. Their increased aggressiveness plus James Harden being James Harden. He's really, I mean, I would say he's probably, if we're going to call Kevin the best player in the league, he's probably the second best player in the league.
I mean, you can make the argument he's the best scorer. He averages 37 points per game, most points per game since Michael Jordan, and I think 86, 87. I wasn't born in 86, 87. So that speaks to his greatness. But no, it's one thing about Harden, though, is he actually hasn't done that well in the playoffs. I mean, yes, he had 41 points last night, but he wasn't especially efficient. He had a minus four on the game. And Mike D'Antoni said, you know, Harden can go to another level. And I think that's a kind of scarier for the Warriors because, you know, they're up 2-1 and Harden hasn't really gone off the way he can. And I think Harden and Chris Paul, for that matter, have a lot to play for in this series. They're not just playing for their season, but they're playing for their legacies in a lot of ways. Who knows, you know, how many more chances they'll get at a potential finals. And I do feel confident saying that if the Rockets somehow beat the Warriors, that they can beat the winner of Denver, Portland, and I think they can hold their own against any team in the East. We're watching in the back right now is Denver, Portland, and I honestly feel like both of those teams aren't even in the same stratosphere as these two teams. So this is a big moment for that team, and I almost find their storylines more interesting than the Warriors because I feel like it means more for them.
Well. Yeah, I mean, I would agree. They haven't gotten there. They've been thwarted. They were, you know, obviously, as we've seen with all the noise surrounding this series, very bitter over the way things played out a year ago in the Western Conference Finals and highly, highly, highly motivated. So we'll have to see. I mean, I think that's one of the intriguing things about this series is that it seems like there's a lot still that can be done. You know, Harden could have an even better game. Curry has yet to go off. Klay has really yet to hit one of those Klay, you know, in the zone moments. The only player who might not be able to get any higher in terms of a peak is Durant, but you never know because he's kind of blowing our minds on a nightly basis. So there's still, you know, the cap has not been put on this series yet in terms of effort or performance. So I think that makes, you know, this game four coming up intriguing and game five. And if there's a game six and if there's a game seven, who knows? It's all good. It's going to be a very interesting week. And now after that long break, now we go 4, 5, 6, 7, all within the next week if need be.
What's your gut tell you right now? I mean, I hate predicting things because it makes us look silly, but what's your gut tell you? Are we going to be back in Houston for a game six?
My gut tells me no, just because I expected them to win game three because they were desperate. But I still think the way, you know, there's something to be learned from the way games one and two played out, that the Warriors are the superior team. But like you said, I hate predicting because then someone will say, you said, you know, I mean, who knows? I mean, who knows? That's the beauty of sports, right? Let's wait and see what happens. If we could predict, we'd already have all our reservations. Yeah. We'd know when we were going on vacation. We don't get to do any of that.
I will say I agree with you. I think largely because I think the Warriors have a lot of untapped potential still. I think if Steph can just return a little bit to the Steph we are used to seeing and Klay can have a Klay night, they'll be they'll be winning convincingly. So, Ann, I really appreciate you joining me on the pod. It's been awesome having you in Houston. And, you know, thanks for the Modelo. I always appreciate it.
No problem. Happy Cinco de Mayo.
I want to thank Ann Killian for joining me on the podcast. It's always fun picking her brain and chatting about the Warriors.
Warriors Off Court is part of the San Francisco Chronicle podcast network. Audrey Cooper is the editor-in-chief. If you like this show, we'd love it if you subscribe to it wherever you get your podcasts. And if you've got a minute to give us a quick review, that helps us build our audience so we can keep growing. Follow me on Twitter at @con_cron and email me at cleturno@sfchronicle.com. Support Warriors Off Court and a lot of great journalism with a subscription to the San Francisco Chronicle. There are print and digital editions. Find out more at sfchronicle.com/subscribe.